So God continues to weep for us. And I was thinking about this reflection and thinking about how much Jesus has been weeping for us during this time of the coronavirus pandemic. You know, they list here, normally, we think of all the people who are going through. I have a long list. They tell you how many. We are close to 300,000 people who would have died in the U.S. And I could just see the tears falling on from Jesus' face as people suffer and die. But here's what I want to share with you today. My sermon title is A Divine Job Description. A divine job description. You know, normally, we see most earthly job descriptions are pretty boilerplate. When you go look for a job, they say they list the necessary qualifications, the desired skill set, and the personal characteristics the employer is looking for. For employers who want to maximize their employees' time and talent for their own benefit and profit, qualities like being ambitious, assertive, and productive are not only welcome but demanded. We see that in job descriptions, don't we? But Jesus' job description was unlike any earthly job description there ever was. The prophet Isaiah lays out that Jesus' job description. This passage begins with the announcement of a divine presence and action. We read in Isaiah 61 as it's subtitled, The Good News of Deliverance. The Good News of Deliverance. And why was he saying that? We must remember that the children of Israel were going through very difficult times. They were under captivity. They would be under one captivity and the next captivity. They would be under the Assyrians' captivity and then the Babylonians' captivity. And so they were facing difficult time. People were dying, generations were dying, and things were happening. They were going through the kind of time we are going through now. Because friends, if truth be told, we have been under captivity. Amen. We have been under captivity by this evil called the coronavirus pandemic. Many of us have been locked in our houses. We can't leave. We can't get to church. If we leave, we're worried. We cannot travel. We can't visit family and friends. We can't do it for Christmas. It is both physical and emotional captivity we are under. Amen? We've been under that. We're weary. Yesterday we had our district committee and ministry at a meeting, and they were speaking about how weary pastors are. We are weary because our people we serve are weary. I have had several conversations with a couple folks this week who have lost their job, who can't barely buy food. People that I know from this community, right? And they're weary, that I've met through this church. They're overwhelmed, and they need to hear a word from the Lord. And that's what Isaiah would be doing to the children of Israel by telling them that the one who come would come to do something different. Amen? And that's the word we hear. And thank God he's here, but we need to be reminded that Jesus is here oftentimes and that he's among us. So here's what Isaiah begins with. He says, The Spirit of the Lord, he's talking about the one who would come, the divine one who would come for with deliverance, to bring the good news. And so he prophesied these words that Jesus himself is going to say later on in Luke, before he started his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. See, Jesus was anointed for the work, right? He has sent me to bring what? Good news to the oppressed. So Jesus' job description was never about his personal attainment. Was never about his personal life. He was not coming to end up being the supervisor. And he wasn't coming to end up being manager. He was coming to save us. Right? He says, He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed and to bind up the brokenhearted. Are we brokenhearted? Many people are brokenhearted this morning. They've lost loved ones. They've been diagnosed here in hospitals. But Jesus can bind up that broken heart. Okay, he can bind it up. He has done it. He continues to do it, and he will. Because Jesus is our comforter. Good news. He's here. It's always been here through Jesus Christ. And so he says to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Friends, Jesus came to what? Proclaim liberty to the captives. We who have been what? Captive to sin. Right? We've been captive to sin. We can accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And those of us who have, thanks be to God, we are now free to worship him, free to live, and free to serve him. But especially during this time, he has given us freedom to live again and to hope again. I truly believe that, you know I always see things. I always see a message in what God does. That it would be that the coronavirus pandemic vaccine, the vaccine that is going to finally at some point eradicate this disease, would come in Advent. That they would find that they would put it together during the season of Advent. The Holy Spirit whispered that to me this morning. Can you believe that in this season of hope, this season of expectation and anticipation and love and peace, the vaccine would be on the scene? How amazing that is, that the God in heaven would do this, so that when we rejoice on Christmas Eve for his birth again, we can rejoice that what? God has answered our prayer. Hallelujah. We have been weeping. We have been crying. We have been on our knees. We have been begging God, please hear from heaven. Forgive us our sins. Could you send help? And he would send help during Advent. Oh, glory to God. We think that God is not sovereign. God is over everything. Everything we do. He says to release the prisoners. Oh, yes, we are going to be released. Do you know we're going to be released from this prison that we have been in? The prison of emotional pain. The prison of being locked in. The prison of loneliness. So many people are lonely. Older people living by themselves. You know, one pastor told me when he told them that he was going to close the church again, a couple of the older people, his congregation is predominantly older, and some of these older people, that's what keeps them going, to get up and come to church from week to week. The psychologists have said that. They come to church, they sing, and they read the Bible, they hear the song, they hear the preach word, and they share in fellowship, and it gives them strength. And when he told them that his church had to close again, a couple of the older people cried. They just started to weep, he said, in the church. They understood, but they began to cry. He said he has noticed that some, that when they first closed in March, and when he sees them now, they're feebler, because just coming to church gave them that strength, that hope to look forward to. Well, friends, as Isaiah said, it is going to happen again. Jesus is going to release us again from that this prison that this virus has put upon us. We who are God's innocent people, that we have now become captives of our situation and our circumstances. Oh, I thank God for that. And then he says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That means we will be released from all our circumstances that are bad. And then he says to comfort all who mourn. To comfort all who mourn. Do you know every person who's mourning? Jesus is comforting them. Oh, we wish it were not so that anybody would die, but we know that Jesus will show up at bedside. He has, continues to do that, to comfort when we mourn. Oh, praise the Lord. And we are reminded that that's through Isaiah. And then we see again that Jesus would then, we are not doing the Luke text today, I'm going to get to John in a minute, but Jesus would say in the Gospel of Luke, friends, he would admit it. They said he stood up in when he came on the scene. Luke chapter 4 verses 15 to 20. He stood up in the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was the one who would come to what? Fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is because he has anointed me, Jesus Christ. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. those who are poor in spirit, those who are brokenhearted, those who are weak and weary. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and a recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free. He would say it, and the Bible says that after he had finished and he said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, then he rolled up the scroll. Young Jesus, he was starting his ministry, he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, sat down, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and then he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The scripture was fulfilled that Isaiah would have promised hundreds of years before. Thanks be to God. And so we know he's here with us. He's here among us. The Spirit of the Lord. You see, God's anointed was sent to the oppressed, to the ones whose hearts were crushed, to the captives, to the imprisoned, and to all who mourn. He came to set us free. And during this Advent time, we can truly preach this word now because we see God working in our midst. And John reminds us, in the Gospel of John reminds us, he says it, and he says it so clearly as we see it. John says, I am not the one. I am not the one who's going to save the world. He says, I am not the one. God has sent what? That someone else is going to go do it. The passage begins with John saying that. And he wanted them to know that he was not the one. That the one who was coming would bring light into the world. He says, I'm not the light, but he is the light. He is the one who's going to shed light on dark places, dark circumstances, and dark situations. He says here, it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all who might believe through him, all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And the light would show up. And friends, there is something divine happening during Advent. There's something divine on this third Sunday of Advent that both Pfizer and Moderna and all the other ones, that the vaccine is ready. I want to let you know today, this is not just by human being. This is by God stepping into our circumstance. God stepped into the universe, stepped out of our situation. He looked down and he says, I've heard your weeping and your gnashing of teeth, and no more weeping. I'm going to fix this now. Oh, I hope we have learned the lesson. And he would step in and this would come together. He didn't come together in next April. He didn't come. It came together now. Because the hope of Christ lives in Advent, lives now and always. The love of Christ lives through Advent. The joy of Christ lives through Advent. And the peace of Christ, which will be next week, will come together to form this great, wonderful, massive thing that we call what? The birth of Christ. Oh, glory to God. That's our hope, friends. And so if you're hopeless today, if you're feeling weary like the rest of us, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling depressed, remember, Jesus came, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was anointed to bring good news. And the great good news is we could all accept him as our Lord and Savior. And the good news is we could hold on to his unchanging hands in hope and in anticipation that he will bring us through. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. For the Lord's word is true. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. His word is unchanging. The Lord says what? We should put out his word on our hearts so that we should not what? Sin against him. When we keep his word, it is his word that brings me through. It is his word that I hold on to. I don't hold on to what the naysayers. I hold on to God's word. When I am weary, when I'm overwhelmed, I go to his word. I go to his word, and somehow within his word, I get that thing of hope, friends. Hold on to God's word, for it's true. Amen and amen. blessings to you this day. And he fulfilled his job description. Oh, he needs to get the biggest raise there is. Shouldn't he? My God, we cannot pay him. But he did, because he sits on the right hand of God the Father. He did the job so well, and now he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And as I close, let me whisper you something. He loved us so much, he said, I won't leave you orphan. I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit with you. So the Holy Spirit of Jesus is in us, among us, with us. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Oh, bless his name. Just bless his name. Amen.